Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 13, Text 37, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Saha Vipra Anumataha Raja Guhitva Anjalina Odanam Avagraya Muda Yuktah Pradat Patnyai Udara Dihi Savipranumato Raja Grihit Vanjalina Udanam Avagraya Muda Yukta Pradat Patnya Udara Dihi Savipranumato Raja Grihit Vanjali Naudanam Avagrahya Muda Yuktaf Pradat Patnya Udara Dihi Translation. The king was very liberal, and after taking permission from the priests, he took the preparation in his joined palms, and after smelling it, he offered a portion to his wife. Purport. The word Udara Dihi is significant in this connection. The wife of the king, Sunitha, was not fit to accept this benediction. Yet the king was so liberal that without hesitation he offered to his wife the boiled rice in milk, prasad, received from the Yajna Purush. Of course, everything is designed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As will be explained in later verses, this incident was not very favorable for the king. Since the king was very liberal, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in order to increase his detachment from this material world, willed that a cruel son be born of the queen so that the king would have to leave home. As stated above, Lord Vishnu fulfills the desires of the karmis as they desire, but the Lord fulfills the desire of a devotee in a different way, so that the devotee may gradually come to him. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. The Lord gives the devotee to make progress further and further so that he may come home back to Godhead. This verse mentions Udara Dhi, liberal-minded. I'm not very liberal-minded. So please, if you haven't yet switched off your phone, do so now. And also, if you have young children, please take control of them or take them outside so they don't wander around during the class. All right, and come, you're being asked to move up a bit also. And adults also need not wander around in the class. Just listen, kindly listen. Important things to discuss here. After millions of lifetimes, we're getting to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, this word is used here, Udara Dihi. This verse, this word also appears in a well-known verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. The verse that we're reading today is not well-known, not so well-known. That verse is there, Akama Sarva Kama Va Moksha Kama Udara Dihi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param. Whether one is desireless, full of desires, or desiring liberation, one who is broad-minded, should intensely worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The king was very liberal. Generally, devotees are expected to be very liberal in the sense that they don't hate anyone. Advishta sarva bhutanam. They're not trying to exploit others, take advantage of them. They wish well for others. Maitra karuna eva cha. So they're very liberal. But here in this verse we see that there can be dangers in being liberal also. Because the king, he knew that actually the wife is not fit to accept this. She should not give birth to children because the children will be very bad. But still the king thought, anyway, let's be nice. There are dangers in being nice. Of course, this was arranged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that the king could very quickly become Krishna conscious. The plans of Krishna, they can be very complex or subtle. We don't know exactly why Krishna puts us in such a situation. But we should go on with our Krishna consciousness. Often we find that some devotees, they're practicing Krishna consciousness and then they find so many things going wrong in their life and then they just give up. And they may even blame the devotees that, oh, I spent so much of my life chanting Hare Krishna. These devotees, they misled me. So this Krishna consciousness is very bad, they conclude. And they blame the devotees, become offensive. They never heard, actually, about Krishna from actual devotees. They might have sat in a Srimad Bhagavatam class many times, but they never heard. They were not udaradhi. They didn't open their consciousness to hear the message of Krishna, which the message is that everything is for His pleasure. We don't take to Krishna consciousness for our own pleasure. Actually, we do. That is the artha jignasu artharti. They take to Krishna's service for their own pleasure. But that means the distressed, the desire of wealth, and one who has some intellectual curiosity. But someone who actually knows Krishna, then he worships Krishna. Why? There's no why. Why does the wife cook a meal for the husband? Why? He doesn't think why. He does it. It's not even out of duty. That's what you do. Dharma. That is her dharma. Her stri dharma. And just as an analogy, then just by doing that, she feels satisfied and the husband also feels satisfied. So the dharma of the living being is to serve Krishna. There's no why. You just do it, that's all. And if you do, then you feel satisfied. Savaipung sang yato savaipung sang paro dharma yato bhaktiya rahokshaya ahaitukya prati hataya atma supersedati. The topmost, take this girl outside. The topmost dharma for every living being is to worship Krishna without thinking why or now I'll stop. Always serving Krishna, and they automatically become satisfied. However, in this material world, liberality, being nice to others, thinking, oh, anyway, let's do what they want. Let's be nice. Being nice can be very dangerous, as we find from this verse. And there are so many instances we may find in our own lives that someone who is very nice, people take advantage of them. Or people take advantage of others' credulity. There are so many cheaters. they take advantage of people's credulity. That so you win their trust and then cheat them. That is in the material world. So being nice is not always being very good. Sometimes not being nice is good. Srila Prabhupada gave an example from his own experience in his householder life in Calcutta. That one time he heard from the neighboring house that the mother was shouting, and the sound of hitting, and one boy was crying loud, so he wondered what was going on. So the system is, if you want to find out what's going in someone else's house, what's going on, you send your servants, and they ask the servants in the other house. And this way everyone knows what everyone else is doing, in every house. So he got the news back that the elder son in the family was suffering from typhoid. And in typhoid, solid, heavy food is proscribed. However, the mother was cooking parathas, and the elder son was very fond of parathas. But he's not allowed to take it in his sickness. Very dangerous if you have typhoid. So when his mother wasn't there, he asked the younger brother, you bring me some paratha. The younger brother did it, and as a result of his kindness to his elder brother, he got a severe beating from his mother. So his being nice was not being nice, because it endangered the life of his brother. And his mother's not being nice by beating the son was being nice, because she taught him a lesson. Don't think you're smarter than your mother. That's one lesson. Another lesson is don't follow your brother if he goes against the mother. She's like God. Just in an analogy, she's like God in as much as she knows what's best for the children. Of course, nowadays mothers, they don't know what's best, and they send their children to the hellish schools in which they learn all kinds of hellish subjects, and they can learn how to be another rascal in Bangalore. And they don't know. They don't know what's best for the children, because they listen to rascals instead of listening to Srila Prabhupada. So good can be bad and bad can be good. Or how is that possible? No, it's what we think is good can be bad. And what we think is bad can be good. Just like many of you may have the experience that you're practicing Krishna consciousness and your relatives may say, why are you doing? That's very bad. Why are you wasting your time? You could be in Sunday morning, you could... What do civilized people do on Sunday morning? They sleep. You should be sleeping. Why are you going to the temple? Why don't you go to the bars and be a normal person? So it's a different idea of what is good and what is bad. What you think is good is actually bad. And what demoniac people think is bad is good. So how are we to know what's good and what's bad and what's right and what's wrong? Then we have to go to the higher authority, to Krishna. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Dharma is that which is good for everyone. And that is given by God Himself. He knows what is good for us. Just like the mother knows what's good. And she may punish also. If you don't follow, she may punish. People often ask, well, how is it that if God is good, then why are there so much suffering in this world? So the boy who's being beaten by the mother said, oh, my mother, she loves me, but why is she beating me? You made the situation in which you need that beating. It's not just that, it may be that in some cases you'll find the mother herself is super stressed because she's doing two jobs and she has children and the fact she's That may be, and she beats the children just out to let out some steam or frustration, but that's not a very good mother if she does that, just out of her egoism or frustration. That's not good. But actually the children can understand if the mother is beating them just for the children's good. They never think that, oh, actually my mother doesn't love me. So what is good and what is bad? That's a big question, isn't it? Killing cows is what? Bad. Is it bad or good? Bad, okay. So let's go to the nearest mosque and ask the same question. What answer will you get? You get the opposite answer. Then who can say? Well, you have to understand from God. And they say, well, we understand from God. God says to us, although apparently there is some mullah or imam or something who's saying that he's propagating that. Actually, it's not there in the Quran that you should kill cows. There is someone saying like that. And then there are Hindus also who say that actually there's nothing in Shastra against killing cows. How to find out becomes very tough. If in doubt, don't kill cows, because it's not that by killing cows you get the grace of God. It's not compulsory in any religion. How to know? Therefore we have to see what is the actual dharma, the actual religion. And as far as religions are concerned, well, those religions that don't accept the reality of reincarnations, they're actually in ignorance. It's a very strange idea, which I realized at approximately the age of 12 or 13, that this idea that God gives you one chance and if you do wrong you get thrown in hell to burn forever. No, that's not right. If there is God, then he has to be kind, and if he's kind, he doesn't burn you in hell forever. He gives you other chances. Just like the mother may beat the child, but she doesn't go on beating him forever. She beats him, and then she stops, and then she feeds him. Basically, she loves him. Not that she takes pleasure in beating him eternally. Someone should beat this boy who's running around. No, we're not supposed to beat people in the temple. But please stop him from running around. Where are the parents of this boy? I learned in the Catholic Church that you get burned in hell forever. One thing though I do remember from the Catholic Church, there were no children running around in the services. Didn't happen there. They have more reverence, it seems. We're fortunate to have the topmost knowledge, but in some ways they're following better. Okay, so what about this question? I thought about this. What do you think? Is it better to do good with bad intentions or to do bad with good intentions? Now, an example of doing good with bad intentions. You're feeding an animal, so the animal thinks, this person is very nice. Every day he gives me so much food. But the intention of the person is eventually to cut the throat of the animal and eat the meat. So that's doing good with bad intentions. Or is it better with good intentions, to do something bad? For instance, there is a very angry person and you try to cool him down. But instead because you're interfering with him, he gets more angry. So it's possible to do good with bad intentions and to do bad with good intentions. Then another question, can good people do bad things? And can bad people do good things? Well, according to Lao Tse, who you may have heard of, famous even up to the present day, ancient Chinese sage, he said that when an insincere person expounds a genuine doctrine, it becomes false and vice versa. Bit of Chinese wisdom. Actually, it's rubbish, because even if a demon says Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, generally demons won't say that, but if he was to say it, it would be true. And the truth is independent of what we say or what we think or what our character is. It doesn't depend upon ourselves or our intentions. It is independent of that. Just like the name of this city is Bengaluru or Bangalore. And if we say that 99% of the people of Bengaluru are rascals, it may be true or may not be true, but the place name stays the same. It's independent of them being rascals or good people or whatever. It is a fact which is independent of other facts, which may be, you know, you may say it's a bad city because there are so many bad people living here, or it's a good city because there are so many good people living here, but the name is as such. And of course that's not an absolute fact, because the name can be changed, as it was changed from Bangalore to Bengaluru. So these are the kind of questions that religion and philosophy deals with. The whole question of Bhagavad Gita. How did the Bhagavad Gita come to be spoken? Arjuna was thinking that what is good to do and what is bad to do? Up to that time, he had thought that it would be good to fight. Everyone's coming to fight. Even Yudhishthira, he's coming to fight. He won't do anything wrong. Bhishma's coming to fight. He's the great knower of dharma. So it had never occurred to Arjuna that fighting could be wrong in this. But then all of a sudden, oh, it's very bad. We shouldn't fight. So Arjuna had a misunderstanding of the nature of good and bad. And it wasn't such an easy thing for Krishna to convince him that fighting in this circumstance would be good. The reason... Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to him to convince him what is right and what is wrong. He made some materialistic arguments at first that anyway, Kshatriyas, if they fight, they go to either they'll go to heaven, or they'll enjoy the earth. Therefore you should fight. Arjuna wasn't satisfied with that. And then Krishna had to speak actually the quite complex understanding of what is karma, akarma, vikarma. He explained all these things to him, to Arjuna. And Krishna himself said it's very complex actually. Gahana karmano gatihi. It's very complex to understand how karma works. When we're talking about good and bad, we're talking about karma, isn't it? It's the interaction of persons with the environment. So that's karma. Is it good or is it bad? We'll say that a rose is a good flower because it smells nice and it looks nice. So, or we may say that mangoes, when they are rotten, it's not good, it's bad to eat. So even a passive agent, like a rose or a mango, we can't say a rose is a good person or a mango. It's not like a person being good or bad, but we say it's good or bad according to the interaction that we have with it. So it's all a consideration of karma. Is it good or is it bad? So life is complex. It's not so easy to say if a good person does bad or a bad person does good or what is the nature of good and bad? Just close to here as we're coming, we came past the missionaries of charity, Mother Teresa. There's some setup close to here, is it? Mother Teresa's ashram or whatever they call it. So Mother Teresa was a very good person, right? Everyone knows. She was a very good person. She did a lot of good. She dedicated her life for doing good to others. So she was a very good person. Everyone knows. All over the world is very famous. She was a very good person. Of course, not everyone appreciated her. There was a famous atheist. Actually, he said, "I'm not an atheist. I'm an anti-theist. Not simply not believing in God, but I'm against believing in God." His name was Christopher Hitchens. He died of cancer. But he wrote a book, it was an expose of Mother Teresa. How actually she wasn't very good. She collected millions of dollars and most of it remained in her bank account. She didn't use it for helping the poor. She was so strict that she was nasty to the people working with her. And she had this idea that Christ suffered, so people should also suffer, and in this way they share in the suffering of Jesus. So she, when she saw people suffering, she thought it was very good. Apart from that, if we think from the spiritual point of view that we know from the Bhagavad Gita, what actual benefit did she do by looking after people's bodies, which anyway they're going to die? Antavanta ime deha. The body is temporary. Her real aim was to convert people to Christianity. She was living in the land of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and she wanted to convert the people who believe in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to beef-eating Christians. So she was very good. That's what most people think. We take another perspective. She was not so good after all. And even the good she did, it was not substantial good. She sent her people out to look for people dying on the street. They've been living on the road all their life. And when they're dying, she takes them into her home so they can die in her home. And if they get better, she puts them out again. So it's not that much good. So what is good and what is bad? If you were living in Germany, if you were a German living in Germany in 1938, 1939, you most likely would think, because everyone else thought like that and it was dangerous not to think like that, that it's good to be bad to Jews, because Jews are bad people, so we should be bad to them. That was the overwhelming idea in Germany at the time. So to be a good German, you had to be what at most times, places in history, or at least since the Second World War, was to be good at that time was later adjudged to be bad. After the Second World War, there were the Nuremberg trials in which the chief Nazis were tried. They didn't try everyone, because they'd have had to kill pretty much, they'd had to try the whole remaining population of Germany. I remember seeing the movie as a child. And one man, he was being said, "You did this bad, you did that bad, you did that, you assisted in killing the Jews." And he couldn't understand what he'd done wrong. He repeatedly said, "I was just following orders. I was just following orders." Because in his mentality, if you're in the military and you follow orders, that's all you have to do. That's what you're supposed to do. To do anything else in his mind would have been wrong. And he couldn't understand, right to the point he got shot. He couldn't understand, "What did I do wrong?" So what we have is a clash between what he thought was good and what the other people thought was good. The only problem was that the other people had conquered his country. So what his idea of good was didn't stand. And he had to be executed for not being good. Then the whole question of what is good and what is bad, I was speaking of Christopher Hitchens, the anti-theist. Actually, if you're an atheist, there should be no question of good or bad. Why? Because, according to them, everything is just chemicals. Or if you really want to get deeper, everything is just wave functions. Right? If we study science, everything is just wave functions. What is this body made up of? It's made up of chemicals. Bhumirapa nalaya vayu kangmano buddhirevacha. That's the Vedic version. And if we take the modern scientific version, which we also accept, then the two versions are not contradictory, then this body is made up of hydrogen, oxygen, carbon, nitrogen, probably in Bangalore, all kinds of different poisons that you breathe in through the air. So many chemicals. And when you die, it's all finished, right? Bhasmi bhutasya dehasya king puna agamano bhavet. When you die, finished. The person is just the body, finished. So then why, where's the good and where's the bad if it's only chemicals? What's this? This is some wood, is it? Under here. Okay, let's use the example of the cloth. Okay, so if I rip this cloth to shreds, that'd be an unusual thing to do. If I just, instead of talking here, I just take this cloth and rip it to shreds, that would be an unusual thing to do. But it's not bad to the cloth, because the cloth doesn't care whether it's ripped to shreds or not, because the cloth has no consciousness. It's only chemicals. So, okay, something bad. Something bad is if I take a hammer and hit someone hard on the head for no reason whatsoever, just out of some madness. So that's a bad thing to do. But why? Because after all, the hammer is just chemicals, and the body is just chemicals, and you feel some pain, and you say, well, that's bad. But after all, the pain is just the interaction of electrical impulses within the brain. So where's the good and where's the bad? It's all just chemicals. There is no good and there is no bad, according to the atheistic outlook. So the very understanding that there is good and there is bad, that rests on a higher principle beyond chemicals. Another example is a man or a woman, if in this feministic world, we shouldn't just say a man. Okay, a woman is sentenced to death. No, women don't get sentenced to death because women don't ever do anything wrong, right? Women are all good. Okay, a man is sentenced to death and he was a misogynist. So he got sentenced to death. And then just before he's shot, he said, okay, you're going to get shot dead in 1 hour, and in the meantime, we're going to give you a nice meal. So will he be very enthusiastic to eat? Oh, what a nice meal. He won't have time to digest it before he gets a bullet in his head or whatever good women think to do to him. So, where's the good and where's the bad? What does it mean to be good? What does it mean to be bad? It's a principle higher than chemicals. There must be some higher arbitrator of what is good and what is bad. So there is a the very concept of good and bad, just like Christopher Hitchens called himself an anti-theist. That means he thinks that theism is bad. Why is it bad? Well, because so many wars are caused by it, by theism. And religion is bad because people, they only have one life and they spend their whole life in fear of some God who doesn't exist, according to him. So, but again, the same thing. What does it matter? If it's all just a whirling and swirling of chemicals within some indeterminate matter, which at one point didn't exist before the Big Bang, and probably will cease to exist in future, then what is good and what is bad? And why get upset about anything? Why should you be upset if people are misusing their lives or being misled? What does it matter? Because anyway, this life is just a flash, and it's only some combination of chemicals. So the very idea that there is good and bad means that there is some higher principle beyond the chemicals. And if we study, we can find, actually we don't even need to study, there is suffering, pain is real. We may say, well, it's just some interaction of chemicals, but pain is real, suffering is real. That is the beginning of Vedic philosophy. To understand there is suffering. And Buddhist philosophy, actually Buddha began from that point, right? The Vedanta begins, Atato Brahma Jignasa. Now inquire into Brahman. Now means when? When we understand that material existence is full of suffering. So therefore we should inquire into Brahma, which is Satchidananda. Brahman is eternal. In this material world everything is non-eternal. Brahman is full of consciousness. So consciousness means there is pain and pleasure. Consciousness of pain and pleasure. Good and bad. Pain and pleasure, good and bad, do not arise in insentient beings. So Satchit Ananda, Brahman is full of bliss. And this material world is full of suffering. So that's the beginning, to understand this world is full of suffering. And if we examine, we find there is reincarnation. This is a fact. It's not a religious theory. It's a fact which can be proved by science. By the scientific method. But because scientists are not scientific in the true sense of the term, they don't accept it. Because they don't want to accept it, which means they're not being scientific, actually. So reincarnation is a fact. That means we're born again and again and again, and we suffer again and again and again. So good means to come to the position of happiness. Why do we think it's bad to hit someone on the head with a hammer? Because it causes them pain. We should not cause pain to others. Why did the Germans think that killing Jews was good? Because they'd, in a roundabout, perverse way, they'd been convinced that all the problems that we, the German people, face are caused by the Jews. So it's good to kill them because they are bad. So it's a perverse idea, but they actually thought it was good. So understanding of good and bad means that there's a higher arbitrator. And Brahma Jignasa, the word Brahma means the ultimate truth. It also means the Vedas. The Vedas give us knowledge. Veda means knowledge. Of what is right and what is wrong. What is right and what is wrong, that means that which gives happiness to everyone. That is good. And that which obstructs happiness is bad. That's the broadest understanding of what is good and what is bad. So again, Savai Pung Sang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Adhokshaje Ahaitokya Pratihata Yayatma Supersedati. The highest occupational duty for every living being is unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service to the transcendent Lord, and only such devotional service can fully satisfy the self. So really good is being Krishna conscious and helping others to be Krishna conscious. And everything else in comparison with that is, we may say it's good or it's bad, but it's so insignificant. Just like they have some pain, you give them a pill, it relieves them of the pain, but it doesn't stop them having to suffer pain again and again and again and again and again, birth after birth after birth. So we can say it's helping them, that's not untrue, but it's not true in the fullest sense of the term. It's something like, okay, now we're going to beat you with a stick 20 million times. And someone says, no, we're going to beat you. No, okay, we don't want, I want to help you. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to lighten the sentence. Instead of being beaten 20 million times, we're going to beat you only 19,999,999 times. So that's good, isn't it? That's good, right? You've helped someone to get free from pain. So it's something like that. You help someone materially, and say, oh, they saved me from some pain. But you have to go on suffering forever, more than 20 million times. Unlimited. So real helping people is not to help them materially, but to help them get free from the beating of repeated births and deaths. And that is possible in Krishna consciousness only. So anything else that we say is helping others, it's not helping them. It's actually detrimental to them, because it reinforces the idea that I'm being helped when they're not really being helped. The man is sentenced to get beaten 20 million times, and you tell him, look, you chant Hare Krishna and you'll get free from all beating. And he said, well, that's all theoretical. Here's someone who's really helping me, because he's convinced the judge that I should only be beaten 999,999 times. That's really helping me. Or we say, you go in chanting Hare Krishna, the beating will go on, but at some point it will stop. You say, well, how do I know? But I know for sure, if someone told me that my sentence has been reduced, only one time less I'm getting beaten. So it takes a little intelligence to understand this, and one has to consider carefully. That's why I'm not very liberal. I don't want cell phones going off in the class, and children running here and there, because hearing is so important. Hearing and understanding these things. Otherwise, like I say, you can be sentimentally chanting Hare Krishna and being a devotee, and then so many times you see something goes wrong. Oh, my wife got a disease, terrible disease. Ah, that means Krishna consciousness is wrong. What's the connection? They don't see that Krishna has some plan for me. Krishna's putting me through this difficulty, putting our whole family through this difficulty, so that we can surrender to Him more and more and more and realize this material world is for some. No, I don't believe there's any Krishna. Krishna, He wouldn't do that. So forget it. Let's become Muslims or become atheists or something like that. And the devotees are very bad people, because they tell us to chant Hare Krishna. So, How to know? How to know for sure what is right and what is wrong? Ultimately, we have to have faith. By our own intelligence, we can't understand everything. By our own intelligence, we'll be running around like a dog trying to catch his tail. He'll never catch it. So we have to have faith in the higher sadhus, in the persons who live the life of Krishna consciousness and help others. Srila Prabhupada helped the whole world by teaching them Bhagavad Gita, giving them the process of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, he was a very insistent preacher. A very strong preacher. Because he knew. He's tattva darshi. He saw the truth. So how do we know what is right and what is wrong? Who is good and who is bad? Yasya asti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvari gunais tatra samasate suraha harava bhaktasya kuto mahan guna manoratena asati dhavato vahi. For one who has unflinching devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has all good qualities. And someone else may seem to be very good, but they don't really have any good qualities. It's all on the mental platform, just like Mother Teresa bandaging people. It's on the physical platform, and all right, there should be some medical aid. That's also there in Vedic culture, Ayurveda, it's there. But not so much stress on the body, that we're really helping people by giving them bandages. No, that's not the real help. Too much stress on the body means just on the mental platform of identifying with the body. So anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness, anyone who takes seriously to Krishna consciousness, they cannot do bad. If they're sincerely serving Krishna, according to the directions of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Api chet sudara charo bhajate mamananya bhak sadhureva samantavya samyagvyavasito hi saha. They may do something bad, but it shouldn't be considered bad. It may be out of some old habit. Otherwise, the very fact that they've surrendered to Krishna means they're on the right path. They're doing the right thing. And chipram bhavati dharmatma, very soon they'll come to the completely perfect situation. So Krishna himself, he sees the good in others. Just like Putana came to kill Krishna. How is it that she came to kill Krishna? How come she got the opportunity? Because in a previous life, as the sister of Bali Maharaj, when she first saw Vamana, she had some maternal feelings. Oh, what a nice little boy. I would so much like to suckle him at my breast. So she had some maternal feelings. Then later when she saw that, stop. That's the first instruction Prabhupada ever gave Lokanath Swami when he was going like this, stop. So I'm giving it to you. But later when she saw that Vamana had cheated her brother and the demons out of their hard earned property, she became so angry she thought, I'd like to kill him. So in the next life she got the opportunity to suckle Krishna at her breast, thinking that she would kill him, but he killed her. But having killed her and punished her, he remembered, oh, actually she had motherly feelings toward me. So he gave her the position of a wet nurse, dhatri. She got that position. So Krishna sees the good. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees the good. Patra Parta
vichanahi nahistanastan, jejaha pai tari deya premadan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, they don't see who's fit for Krishna consciousness, who's not fit. They just give to everyone without discrimination. An example of doing wrong without bad intent. Srila Prabhupada gave an example from his own life. In his family life, he was a pharmaceutical manufacturer and businessman. So he was once called to court. There was a court case against him for selling alcohol without a license. He had a license for producing pharmaceutical alcohol. But then it was discovered that his company was selling alcohol on the side for non-pharmaceutical reasons. So Srila Prabhupada, as the owner of the company, was taken to court, and he said to the judge that, yes, I'm the owner of the company and I must accept responsibility, but actually it was I give the functioning of the company day to day, I give to the manager, and I didn't oversee him properly. So you may kindly excuse and I'll see it doesn't happen again. And he was acquitted. But if it happened again, he might be able to excuse himself, but not again and again and again, because it's his responsibility. So a devotee can do no wrong, but he shouldn't take a license that now I can do anything I like. And also, although Krishna sees the good, as with Putana, we should be more discriminating. Srila Prabhupada said, don't allow these rascals to join ISKCON. They'll spoil everything. He gave an example from Chanakya Pandit, who said that, Chanakya said that one chandan tree, one sandalwood tree, can give fragrance to the whole forest. And one tree, if there's fire in the hollow of its trunk, it can destroy the whole forest. So in the same way, one great personality can give fame to the whole dynasty, and one bad person can destroy the whole family. And we see that. It's not uncommon. Someone starts drinking and gambling, then he steals money from his parents. He may even kill his parents so he can get the inheritance. He can destroy this. So Prabhupada said, he's discriminating. Don't just see the good. He said, keep these rascals out of ISKCON. They'll spoil everything. So we have to discriminate. What is right and what is wrong for the ultimate benefit of everyone. Sometimes I'm accused of speaking too bluntly and openly and harshly. So it might seem it's not right, it's not good. We should speak in a nice way so that people feel nice. But making people feel nice is not necessarily the best thing for them. There may be some feeling nice, nice, nice. But sometimes we may have to say, well, you don't be a nonsense, don't be a rascal, don't spoil your human life, don't spoil ISKCON by your wrong ideas, your bogus rascal ideas. So we should care for those who have come to this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We should care for ISKCON. And caring doesn't just mean say, oh, everything's nice. You have to see, this is the material world. When Srila Prabhupada was present, there were so many problems in ISKCON, and then it would be foolish to think that when Prabhupada's not personally present, there won't be any problems. You expect there will be more problems. So being nice can be very dangerous. And if we're only looking for being nice, we're only looking for that which is nice, it can be very dangerous for us. The power of discrimination is required. Even the Sri Vaishnavas, they care about ISKCON. Some Sri Vaishnavas recently, they were intimating to us that they're very concerned that ISKCON not institute this idea of female Diksha Gurus, and that will, because that will impact on their own Sampradaya, because they said ISKCON is big and we are small, so that will affect us also. If you bring in this non-Shastric or anti-Shastric idea, we have to act according to Shastra. That's what they said. So, what I say, I'm trying to communicate to those who would like to apply their intelligence in understanding Krishna consciousness. There are many devotees who think, oh, we don't want to think. We spend all the week long thinking. Our mind is full of so many thoughts. We want to come to the temple, we just want to relax and chant Hare Krishna and get some relief. They may think that thinking about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it's actually an obstacle, because then you start to see, well, this one's good and that's bad and that's not right. But if we read Srila Prabhupada's books as he told us to do, then we will find Siddhanta Balaya Chitte Nakaraha Alash Yeha Hoite Krishna Lage Sudira Manosh. Do not be lazy in understanding Siddhanta. It means what to understand, what is right and what is wrong. Because by understanding this, the mind can become firmly attached to Krishna. Otherwise, it might seem that we're firmly attached to Krishna, but then so many things go wrong in our life and we lose the Krishna consciousness because we're not firmly attached to Krishna. We become firmly attached to Krishna by seeing Krishna's activities in this world, seeing how he is, seeing everything is going on by the plan of Krishna. Krishna may arrange so many things which are not nice for me, in my estimation. But we have to understand, this is Krishna's mercy. Just like King Anga, he got a rascal child. He took that, what happened? He got a rascal child, and then he became so disappointed, he left home just to practice Krishna consciousness. So that was good for him. That was Krishna's arrangement. Krishna knew he needed that. So he didn't say, I got a rascal child, so forget Krishna. He didn't do that. Hare Krishna. Any question, please, about the subject that's just been discussed? No question? Pancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya vichapati dhanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.